Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the last ever episode of The Windsor Knot, a royal wedding podcast.
The final knot.
That's Daniel Krupa. I'm Joe Scrabbles. The knot is unravelling as we speak. It happened, didn't it? And we're really late to talk about it.
We're a week late, but that was intentional.
100%. Time to digest.
It's given us a week to pore over the incidents of the big day.
Yeah, let all the sneaky stories come out afterwards.
It was a fabulous day.
It was a very nice day. I was surprised by how much I actually enjoyed watching it. Because there was a bit of me that was still dreading, like, imagine if it's just boring and we've spent all this time talking about it.
Yeah, if they let us down on the big day. And we celebrated and in true British style got absolutely battered.
Hammered. Drunk.
So we asked for lots of emails last week and you didn't disappoint, sent in loads of emails. So we're gonna be like reading out emails throughout the show. And the first one is from Piper, which is an awesome name. Hello, boys. Greetings from Berkeley, California. I started listening to your podcast early last week to prepare for the royal wedding.
Bloody hell.
And I love it. I was also waiting for my bar exam results and laughing at you two calmed my nerves until I got my results on Friday.
Is a bar exam for lawyers?
Yeah.
Are you a lawyer?
She is now because she passed.
Because Berkeley is like a... That's a good big... Is that Ivy League?
I don't know.
It's one I've heard of. That's what I'm assuming it is.
I think it is. It's definitely a good one.
Piper's a genius, I reckon.
Congratulations on passing your exams. She says, I went out with friends and then went to sleep around 2 a.m. Party hard, dude. We set alarms for 4:30 a.m. Pacific time to wake up and watch the wedding. I woke up sometime around 6, never having heard the alarms. I tried to see if others had a similar experience by starting the very unsuccessful hashtag royal wedding lion.
Interesting. A royal wedding lion. Why does that remind me of something, Cooper?
yeah. I almost massively... What's the English word? Fucked it.
Absolutely fucked it.
So the night before the royal wedding, Joe and I did something similar. It was a colleague of ours leaving drinks.
Yes.
So we went to that and we planned out where we were going to watch the wedding the next day.
We'd had it all booked. We had a big group with us.
We had a big group. It all booked. It was booked by our friend Gavin. It was booked in a lovely brewery.
Oh, it's fantastic.
In East London,
place.
In Hackney Wick.
The Merchant's Tap. You should go.
Which is quite far from my house. And in my drunken stupor the night before, I thought it'd be a brilliant, brilliant idea to sleep in the office.
I'd completely forgotten you did that.
So I kept that quite a secret on the day, so I was quite embarrassed.
You revealed it later on when we were drunk again.
Yeah, yeah. So I slept in the office, and then I woke up on Saturday morning, and I freaked out that I was in the office. And in my hungover, slightly drunk state still, I thought, I'll go home for a bit, taking myself further away from where we were going to watch the royal wedding. I went home. I went to bed. and then I set an alarm, slept through that. I woke up at 11.
Which is when we'd booked to be in the pub.
And I'm very rarely late for anything. And I freaked out because I was like, oh no, I've let Joe down. I've let myself down. I've let everyone down. And I looked, I was like, I can still make it. I looked on Uber. It said, it took 1 hour and 10 minutes to get there.
Oh,
and I was like,
oh God.
So I was sat in the back of an Uber watching it on my laptop for a good 10, 15 minutes. I sent you a picture of me watching it and you said, Man, the future's weird.
Yeah, it's just like, I can't believe you can actually do that. But it was very funny. Like, firstly, I got there and no one else, like, the pub was empty.
You're the most enthusiastic man in London.
The pub was empty. The royal wedding didn't even have the sound on. No, 100% not. The royal wedding coverage didn't even have the sound on. They walked in, looked at me like I was insane, and then went, wait, are you here for Gavin's table? And I was like, yeah. And
they're like, are you here for Gavin?
Yeah, and they were like, you're the only people booked for this time. Take whatever table you want. We didn't even assign one. So I went and took the biggest table that had the best view of the coverage. And I sat there for about 5 minutes and was like, have I been razzed? Like, is this a massive... Am I being razzed? Because no one was there. You hadn't weren't reading text, like there was no ticks on the... Or there was no blue ticks.
I was so panicked.
Like, eventually... Other people turned up, our friends Steve and Reese turned up, and like, I was like, he's not coming. And then just got this frenzied message from you being like, oh, so sorry, man, I'm in a taxi. It's just brilliant.
But I was in this taxi and I was like, well, I had this dilemma. It's like Sophie's Choice. Yeah. Do I get the tube, which is similar time, but maybe a bit faster, or get an Uber, which is longer and sit in traffic, but I could watch it?
Yeah. I think that's the way to do it.
Anyway.
You did it well.
Yeah.
It was very funny.
I still feel embarrassed about it. But I was so flustered.
You got in during the man talking about fire.
Yeah.
Bishop Curry.
Flustered. So, yeah, we've got a bunch of emails with general observations from people. And it's quite nice that Americans have written in.
We're going to use this to sort of jump off things. This is a bit more of a free-form thing because there's so much
it's
to talk
goosey.
About. We're definitely going to cover everything. It just might come later on. Don't expect too much of a structure from us.
Yeah. I was just going to find, you know, it's a jazz podcast.
It is.
So this is from Marjorie Anderson. She lives in Houston in Texas. And what I quite like about Marjorie is she, I think, only discovered this podcast after she watched The Royal Wedding.
What?
I only discovered your podcast last night when after watching BBC America's rebroadcast of The Royal Wedding. So they broadcast it in the afternoon in Houston time.
That makes sense because I suppose it's super early.
Yeah,
right?
I still hadn't nearly enough Royal Wedding and then discovered your show.
Huh.
And she's looking forward to catching up on all the episodes, which I think she's done after she's written this initial email because 2 days later, she's written in with her own like title. So I'm going to read that out.
Nice.
So she's now Marjorie Anderson. She's like, you're probably not even looking at these emails anymore. We are, Marjorie.
Always.
I would like my name to be Lady Marjorie of Frogfruit Manor.
Frogfruit!
Frogfruit is a native plant that butterflies love in the swampy place where I live, which is Houston. And also, did you see how Meghan had to help Harry slide the ring onto her finger? It seemed it was stuck on her knuckle. I don't remember that.
I don't remember that.
That was Marjorie's last observation. But yeah, first thing Marjorie says, I'll get this out of the way up top. I had no idea British people think it sounds weird when we say fill in the blank city time.
I don't know what that is.
Fill in the London time, which we say.
Oh, as in not fill in. So is it just fill in the blank? So like blank city time, like Houston time, New York time.
I don't think that's weird.
Have we said that? Is that us?
I just read that out because I thought you might know what I meant.
I suppose it's weird to us to think of a country with multiple time zones. That I still struggle with that, and we have to deal with it quite literally every single day in our job.
Some people really don't understand that. And she also says, because I think we said this on one episode, if we thought Americans get offended if we call them Yanks.
Oh, yeah.
Marjorie does not.
Oh, that's good.
In fact, quite the opposite. It makes us feel cool.
Really?
Well done, Yank.
Marjorie... what was it? Lady Marjorie of Frogfruit Manor.
Yeah.
Comma, Yank.
Yank. Absolute Yank.
Now it sounds bad. Yeah, you're not allowed to do that. Don't put absolute on the front. Marjorie's been nice.
A wonderful Yank. Pretty much about 100 people total in the US have watched Suits ever. When they kept panning to the Suits stars, in scare quotes, I'm sure 99.9% of Americans were thinking, why do they keep showing that guy? It's a good observation.
That is good.
We didn't also... Over here, we didn't know any of the rugby or football guys, but they were very handsome.
Most of them were.
Well, there was one man who was very handsome. Did you see the picture? Well, I know you did because I sent you pictures of David Beckham.
Yeah.
He looked magnificent.
You just sent me a picture of him, just sent the numbers 43.
Yeah. He's 43, Joe.
Insane.
He's a right sort.
We had a lot of brilliant tweets on that day, but the first tweet of the whole day from us was there's a good chance that the entire podcast next week is going to be about how good George Clooney looks. I've had to be reined in on that. George Clooney looked absolutely unbelievable. We'll get on to him later. There's a good story about him. But then someone wrote back, I can't remember who it is, I should look it up, I'm sorry, but you're brilliant, saying, but what about David Beckham? Blokes are right sort. And it made me laugh so much. I showed everyone.
He's a right sort.
He's a right sort.
Just very simple suit, very elegant.
But he had a little, he had an elegant chain. Did you see the chain?
Of course he's going to have an
elegant Unbelievable.
Chain. There's a man in this world that can carry off an elegant chain.
It's all about accessories. Because if you look bad with that, you look like a goth with your wallet on a chain.
I wouldn't have known any of the rugby guys, to be fair. Apart from Mike Tindall, but that's only because he's married to
I think Woodward, the World Clive Cup Woodward, winning coach, was there.
The camera was very close to him at one point.
Oh, yeah.
It was really
And
really
he's got quite a wide head, so it looked sort of like in it by accident.
He's a man built for widescreen.
He is.
And they were like, they took full advantage, getting really close to him. what was up with Fergie's daughters? Did they purposely wear the most blah hats they could find? Are they like that unpredictable?
Well, so we've talked about this. I don't know if you've caught up enough, Marjorie, but Beatrice, one of Fergie's daughters, became infamous for wearing the maddest hat possible at the last royal wedding. So I think it was a very conscious thing to be like, let's not go mental because everyone will make fun of us again. And frankly, I was upset. Again, another tweet I sent, distinct, disappointing lack of hats that look like aliens.
Yeah, or poops.
Oh, no cack hats to be seen.
And then the final one, and I think this might become a recurring one, is were the English people just in total shock when Reverend Curry was preaching his sermon? Megan was listening intently and Doria was nodding her head, and I'm sure Oprah was giving an amen, but English people looked like they were thinking, what in the hell is going on here? Zara's mouth was wide open. I don't think people in England realise how religious Americans are.
Well, I think that's certainly true. We're a much more secular nation than America.
But we shouldn't be. We are officially...
Our head of state is the head of the Church of England.
Like, we are. I've actually spoken to lots of Americans about this, that... We are supposed to be a religious country, but if any politician running for office mentioned religion, I think Tony Blair did it once.
He did.
It freaks English people out.
Well, and also, he's a Catholic, isn't he, Blair?
Yeah,
well, so I think that's
much more outspoken about it now after he's not in office.
Yeah.
But like, people don't like... British people don't like you talking
Catholics.
About religion. Don't like Catholics, but don't... Just like overt I've been persecuted religiosity my whole life. Is weird. Doesn't take a lot to make a British person uncomfortable.
No.
But that religion does. But I actually thought it was brilliant.
Bishop Curry, because of the sheer length of his sermon, it went from, oh my God, this is amazing, I can't believe he's doing this during a royal wedding, to, oh my God, he's gone mad. Is he ever going to stop? Is that candle going to fall over? Because he kept knocking the candle. It was making me very uncomfortable. And then it went back to, oh my God, he's brilliant. Because at the end he was like, I'm going to stop talking, we're going to get y'all married. You're like, genius, absolutely brilliant. You know, he did a load of stuff. He helped out on like protests and stuff in London afterwards. Like he became a
what?
Yeah, he's like pictured walking arm in arms with.
I looked into him. He is pretty amazing. Also, his middle name is Bruce.
Oh yes, please.
Michael Bruce Curry is the American leader of the Episcopalian Church. He resides in Chicago, Illinois. So we've never like talked about him in the run-up, really.
I don't know if it was known, was it?
Because all we've fixated on is Welby.
Welby. I should point out Welby. I've got a note. Didn't fuck it.
It didn't fuck it.
Welby was great.
But also, because, like, Reverend Curry, let's face it, kind of stole the show.
Oh, did you see the deacon behind him just not making any contact with his eyes, just looking straight ahead, refusing to engage?
When the British priest was, it's just so dull. But Welby actually had to go on Twitter and, like, I don't know if this is, like, saving face when somebody's had to break it to him going, you're no longer the main act.
You've
been bumped down to support. We've got this bigger act from America over. He's wicked. He says he's going to do 10 minutes, but I reckon he'll do 20.
It's like when the GIs came over during World War II and stole
stockings.
All the women.
He's giving out chocolate and silk stockings.
Yeah.
He says, I'm thrilled that Prince Harry and Meghan Markle have asked Bishop Curry to preach at their wedding. Absolutely thrilled I am. And then he uses the handle for Bishop Curry. Bishop Curry, dropping in his handle so he gets a notification.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What a weird world we live in. The different bishops are like hatting each other on
each
Twitter.
Other.
Oh, the future's weird, Joe.
At least he's not subtweeting him.
Yeah, it's like, oh, Oh, Bishop Curry is a brilliant pastor. He's brilliant. Yeah, he's wicked. He didn't say wicked. He's a brilliant pastor, stunning preacher, and someone with a great gift for sharing the good news of Jesus Christ.
There's something so British about stunning. It's absolutely stunning.
Well, we have a friend of ours who says stunning
about
at the drop of a hat.
Quite literally anything.
I think one day, this person said stunning about a woman, a baby, and a cup of tea.
Oh, yeah. Everything's stunning.
Stunning. He also, apparently, he often reads his sermons from an iPad.
Well, and he did.
And then,
very surprising.
And also, he wrote a book about crazy Christians. And this phrase, crazy Christians, comes from like a 2012 sermon he did that kind of made him very famous.
Okay.
Where he just says, referring to Jesus, he went, they thought he was crazy, and he was, he is, and those who would follow in his footsteps, those who would be his disciples, are called and summoned and challenged to be just as crazy as Jesus.
Ooh.
So he's literally advocating craziness as religious dogma.
Well, he's living by it.
Yeah.
I've never expected to hear a sermon with the phrase, there was no Bronze Age without fire, during the royal wedding, so...
But that's the weird thing about it, like, it was religious, but it was religious in the way that I don't mind, because it was less dogmatic. It was more this kind of spiritual, and it was like inspirational, and it was interesting.
Yeah.
Rather than being like this really prescriptive, boring, don't do this,
yeah,
don't do this.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, yeah, it was, and it had a more...
it was quite pretty.
It was a wider message than a religious one as well.
Power of love, Joe.
Yeah. Power of love is greater than the power of fire, apparently.
Is it?
Tell that to fire, mate.
Fire is it? Or
I'm
burn
not
it.
Saying I'm setting him on fire. Leave me out of it. Do you want some more observations?
Yes.
Is that all from Marjorie?
Yes.
Thank you, Marjorie. That was lovely.
Of Frog Fruit Man.
I hope you enjoy the rest of them, and I'm sorry that you've joined when we're stopping. Christopher Landigan, which is a good name. He's from White Bear Lake, Minnesota. I'm sure we'll talk about this later, but it is insane to me that Americans continue to write into us. I really like it. I would like you to know that I hold you two entirely responsible for the fact that I set my alarm for 3:30 a.m. this morning to watch this thing. That's good. I began the spring only... Oh, this is nice. This is very pastoral. I began the spring only dimly aware that a royal wedding was upcoming and only commenced listening to your pod on the recommendation of the AV Club. I like them. I enjoyed the show from the start, but even as I listened week to week, I had no real intention of actually watching the event. A few weeks ago, however, I realised that I'd developed sufficient interest, again, entirely your fault, that not watching was out of the question. So here we are, some observations. Harry looked really nervous at the start, didn't he? Best thing that came out the whole wedding, someone put out a tweet that got, 50,000 retweets almost immediately, which was a very accurate lip reading of Harry when he was finally stood next to Meghan, saying, "I'm shitting it." Which humanised him immediately.
Yeah.
But he was very fidgety. Don't give a nervous man on his wedding day a jacket that's got belts all over it, because all you'll do is fiddle with the ends.
It was like a giant fidget cube.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh, there's lots for me to play on my chest.
It's like
with medals and like little bits of rope. It's like lots to play with.
It's like how you cannot put me on a table next to a tall candle without me... completely losing interest in anything you have to say, because all I will do is pick the wax off of it and then put it back in the top and pick it off.
Do you ever put wax on your face or PVA glue on your face and then peel it off like Hannibal Lecter?
I've never really done it on my face. I used to...
When he's in the ambulance at the back and he just like takes off the face.
We're both good... You were an altar boy as well, weren't you?
Yeah, I was, yeah.
We were both good Catholic altar boys as children. And I was an acolyte for a time, which the kids that carry around the...
Candles.
Absolute nightmare for them, because all I was doing during the whole service was just dipping my finger in the wax at the top of the candle.
I used to do that all the time. I used to do the incense swinging for funerals.
Oh, you were a thurifer.
I used to spin it like that, like a little...
Fair play.
Also, I used to like carry the cross.
Oh, what's he called?
I don't know.
Didn't you knock off Jesus'
I decapitated head? Jesus.
That's not good.
Because to come out of the vestry, you would have to dip... So basically, I'm carrying like a large pole, and at the top of the large pole is a crucifix with Jesus on it, and you lead the procession, followed by the acolytes, followed by the priest. And it's like playing number nine, so like Lone Striker.
Yeah.
And you have to like dip down the pole to get it out of the vestry. And I just kind of really excited because it's my first time doing it. I just marched out the door and took off Jesus's head.
Oh, poor old Jesus.
But
he suffered enough.
The priest has to forgive you.
He does. That's
so
true.
All you can do is say sorry.
How do we get onto that? I can't remember. Oh, candles. Yeah. Anyway, yes, he did look really nervous. I think everyone commented on that. You weren't there by that time.
I was nervous.
You were nervous in a cab. Christopher continues, I was really impressed with Doria Ragland. By all reports I've heard, Harry's family have been very cordial towards her, but regardless, she was a long way from home, unsupported by any of her own family, and amongst very unusual company, to put it mildly. She had to look at Prince Andrew the whole time. She seemed incredibly poised in an absolute sense, but particularly given the circumstances. Like, very good point. Like, there hasn't been a lot of chat, I don't think, about Doria Ragland. She was brilliant, and, like, very, like... I don't know, she seemed more regal than anyone else
there.
Very
poised.
Yeah, she, like, just reacted in all the right ways the whole time.
She had a weird, empty shot of her, though. She, like, there's, like, no one near her.
It sucks that, like, I mean, there's obvious reasons for a lot of the people not coming. Like, most of them growing their own weed, as far as I understand. But, like, it was odd to put her so far away.
Yeah.
It was quite strange. Actually, I'm going to take a quick sidebar, because, you know, straight across from her, did you notice the empty seat next to William?
No.
Right, this is very interesting, because loads of people...
Mystery.
...took that to mean... I didn't notice it at the time, but when you see it, in retrospect, so it went front row of the... those sections of pews are called the choir, spelled with a K, which is cool. And it went empty seat, Prince William, Prince Charles, and then behind them, behind the empty seat was the Queen and Prince Philip.
Our friend was livid the Queen was on the second row.
Yeah, well... We'll get onto that. This is very interesting. Loads of people thought that empty seat was a tribute to Princess Diana. So Harry was putting his mum's seat right next to them. Totally untrue. But it is a nice thought. Apparently there are lots of tributes to Lady Diana, though. They had forget-me-nots, which were a favourite flower in the bouquet, which I don't think was talked about beforehand.
Which apparently some of those flowers were hand-picked by Harry himself.
The day before. Yeah, yes, lovely.
Lovely.
As we know, Princess Diana's ghost was there, but that wasn't her seat. But there was a more practical, real reason for this. And I love this, because it falls right into a category that you coined called Fuck Off, I'm the Queen. The Queen was in the second row for two reasons. The empty seat was there for two reasons. One, the Queen hates that seat. It's her private chapel, and she finds that seat really uncomfortable. And secondly... no one's allowed to sit in front of the Queen. So she was like, I want second row, but fuck off anyone sitting in front of me. That's what it was.
Awesome.
Fuck off, I'm the Queen. In full effect on the seats.
That is brilliant.
Absolutely wicked. I was so happy when I found that story. I was like, oh my God, she's still doing it.
She hates some of the seats. Yeah. I tried all of them.
Yeah.
This is the one for me.
My chapel. I'm surprised he hasn't just gone, like, chop it out. Get rid of that
seat. But, like, again, you would if you were the Queen. If you were in charge. Like, that's what I do at the cinema all the time. These are my favourite. Don't sit in front of me.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, that was great.
You've got a massive head. Move.
Christopher continues again. He's got so many observations. I thought I'd start to lose interest once the Spot the Celebrity Hour had ended and the ceremony itself began. There were some good celebrities there, though. I missed loads.
Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy's weird bald head.
He looked mad. I know Tom Hardy looks mad at the best of times, but just being hairless made his lips look really big. Do you know what I mean?
Like, I do know what you mean.
He looked like a tennis ball with a duck.
He looked like a lost fish. But Christopher was absolutely thrilled and completely surprised by Bishop Curry's address, which we've covered. I don't know if it was his intent to make the royal family seem a little out of place in their own house, but it sure looked like that was the effect to me, and I thought it was great. I like the way none of them knew whether they were allowed to laugh. Like, they were all stifling laughs during that stuff. And at first I was like, I couldn't tell whether it was a bit mean and rude or whether it was just because he was funny.
Yeah, no, it's hard to tell, isn't it? Because... Zara Phillips, like, she looked a bit aghast and it's like, this is weird.
Zara Phillips.
Yeah. But then he was really funny as well.
It was great.
And also maybe just unexpected.
Yeah, it's definitely,
like,
unexpected.
It is literally one of the most formal occasions you could ever attend.
It's nuts.
And there's this person who isn't fazed by it at all.
Yeah.
And is being incredibly informal, which is at odds with everything you know of the royal
family. It's a man who 100% knew a billion people were watching him. I'm living up to it.
He's like, I got this.
Yeah. Christopher also may have missed it up a bit when the gospel choir sang Stand By Me, which was absolutely lovely.
Yeah, that's good.
Beautiful touch. Apparently that was Prince Charles who organised that.
Did he?
According to reports, you never know if any of this stuff is true.
As well.
He was great.
Yeah.
I like Prince Charles.
Yeah, I think for so many years, people hate, like my mum hated him, and it's just like this weird thing that existed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He seems okay. Apart from the whole writing to the Labour Party and that.
And also, apparently, he's very good at protecting British produce, but not Welsh lamb.
Oh, come on, mate.
Apparently, he favours New Zealand lamb.
You'll take their gold, but you won't have their lamb. Disgusting. Unbelievable. That harms the environment as well.
Brilliant Welsh lamb.
I like this. Very final one. Victoria Beckham was luminous. Which, I thought she looked quite sad.
Yeah.
It was odd.
Yeah.
I don't know. She wasn't very smiley in the same way old Dave's was. But it's hard. Isn't it weird that, like, posh Spice can be shown up by David Beckham?
Like, always in my eyes. Although, I saw on Twitter somebody posted that picture of them when they wore full leather biker suits to, like, a premiere in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
It's an insane image.
Isn't that when they first... Oh, no, there's another picture when he first met Prince Harry. And he's like, got a do-rag on or something. He looks crazy.
Yeah. One of the reasons why David Beckham probably looked so happy is the day before he was up in Manchester and he had a big old tray of chips and mushy peas and gravy and an iron brew.
He put it on his Instagram and he was just like,
oh, good to be home.
God, I love David Beckham. He's great.
He is great. Joe.
Yes?
You know who else lost? Some people did lose interest in the big day.
Did they?
Yeah.
Who?
I have some important statistics here. This was sent to us by Pornhub. It literally is from Pornhub.
What do you mean it's from them?
I think it's from like their internal PR.
Is this an email?
Yeah.
To us?
Yeah. Well, it's forwarded by a friend of ours.
Oh, I see. Thanks, Lucy.
But she's on the mailing list for them. So here's some key data that Pornhub was able to glean from the big day. As the ceremony began, worldwide traffic to Pornhub plummeted by a massive 10%.
That's probably the first time since that Hawaii nuclear attack.
Specifically, it fell 21% in the United Kingdom.
I bet that was during the Spot the Celebrities.
And
there.
6% in the United States. Not in the back of the cab I was in.
Jesus.
Meghan Markle searches steadily increased in the days before and after the wedding, reaching as high as plus 2,812%.
Good Lord.
On May 21st.
It really makes you feel a bit dirty about being human, doesn't it?
Oh, this is disgusting. But you can't really argue with the statistics. Searches for Meghan Markle increased by 2,800%. Searches for David Beckham.
Oh, good Lord.
Soared by 3,440%. More people. Because you know why? He's a certified sort.
That's not necessarily more people, remember?
No. It's just one. It's me.
I searched him 3,000 times in one day, as opposed to one a day, as I usually limit to myself.
The term royal grew by an impressive 1,800%.
What?
But also searched were Kate Middleton, Serena Williams, and Victoria Beckham.
I don't really...
And then I love this person who is the PR for Pornhub, and he sent this out. He goes, let me know what you think, Chris.
Let me know what you think. We told you, it's dirty.
Naughty.
I do... Maybe it's hard because I've skewed this by... Never mind. Basically, I find it very odd that people are watching the royal wedding and getting horny. Like, that's... It's just like... That's such a strange connection to me.
The fire. You can't suppress fire, Joe.
The fan of love. This one you've entitled Beardgate. I haven't read it yet, so I'm excited. But it's from Lord Lieutenant S. Bizzle. So that's good. I believe he's called Stuart. All right, fellas. I'm assuming he's not American, but I might be wrong. Whenever I see a policeman in any kind of armed security getup, I internally murmur, ooh, dapper.
If there's going to be one legacy of this podcast...
I'd love it.
I'd like it every time an American sees a person with a firearm. They go, internally or externally, ooh, dapper.
I've just realised Stuart's from Australia.
Oh, well, so.
So that's why he says fellas.
That's just like British, but permanently on holiday.
You got in trouble with not just my dad, but many Australians for that. I just wanted to see if you had any info on Harry's beard. A drunken bloke next to me was screaming that Harry was flying in the face of military protocol by having a beard and military uniform, which I sort of get. However, seeing as he wasn't on active service and, you know, a member of the royal family, he probably gets away without any disciplinary issues. So I don't have much info on Harry's beard, to be honest, and there wasn't actually a lot of discussion about it.
Well, I also read this thing somewhere, I can't really find it now, that the Queen gave him permission to do it.
So the Queen, oh, for the beard?
Yeah.
Oh, because she also gave him permission to wear that uniform.
Right.
So this is very interesting. I wrote down a lot about his uniform. Let's get into this. Because his uniform, when I saw it, I was like, what the fuck is
it's
that?
Mad, isn't it? It looks like a finger trap.
Like the dress, the Givenchy dress, coated off Ralph and Russo.
That's getting his own section.
Okay, good. We'll talk about that later. But his uniform was the Blues and Royals uniform, which everyone expected. But it's a very specific one because there are different Blues and Royals uniforms for lots of different things. So here's all the notes I wrote down for it. It was called the frock coat uniform of the Blues and Royals, and the frock coat's made of blue doe skin. So a doe had to die for that.
Really?
At least one. Took something like... it was like a hundred... oh, no, it's ages to stitch. Can't remember how long. Ages.
A Bronze Age.
On the coat, he wore the pilot's wing badge that he received for serving in the Army Air Corps for flying Apache helicopters, as we know. Tier 1 pilot. And he wore 4 medal ribbons. I like this. Because there's KCVO, which I believe is like a title he has, so I think that's like being good at Army. Afghanistan service. And then 2 more. I think this is sort of cheating. Queen's Golden Jubilee, Queen's Diamond Jubilee. Just like, stick them on. Just have a couple more medals just because you were there. Nan, can I borrow some of your Jubilee medals?
My jacket looks shit. It's only got 2 on. Nan.
William's got loads more.
Have you seen how many dads have got?
Unbelievable. But the unique braiding running down the front, so the mad belt bit, is black mohair. And it's particular to the Household Cavalry and the Lifeguards. I'm assuming the Lifeguards are a bit of the Blues and Royals. With invisible hooks fastening down the front instead of buttons.
Invisi-hooks
from DARPA. And this is very interesting. The style of the coat, it doesn't explain this, but the style of the coat revealed that he has been promoted to the rank of Major, but by the Queen. So that's sort of cheating. Just being like, oh, yeah, Queen says I'm Major now, so...
You go ask her.
Yeah, exactly. He's just like, oh, yeah, what's Sergeant? What was he? Captain Harry Wales.
Captain Harry Wales.
Now he's Major Harry Wales.
He's a Major Harry
Wales. I think he's Major Henry now.
I get the feeling, I don't know why I project this on that, I feel like Queen really loves Harry. Like, she's his favourite.
It's that same thing as how teachers love a rogue. They'll tell him off, but when they're gone, they're like... oh.
He's a good one, though.
It was Jack Ellis at my school. I remember Mrs. Greer, the toughest teacher in the school.
And you bet you were really good.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I never got any attention because I was lovely. I was too nice. Never got in trouble. Very good boy. Boring.
no. Mate, I was so boring.
Yeah, we're good boring boys.
Right. We'll be back after the break when we're going to talk all about the dress.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome back. We're going to ignore your emails for a second because I've got some stories I want to tell. You remember the instrument of consent?
Yes, it's that weird image. We tweeted it out on the Windsor Not Twitter account if you want to check out Kate and Will's one.
It's like the mad, you know when you get like a certificate for swimming or like off-road Segway racing? I got one of those. It's like one of them, except super fancy and written on vellum. And they released the instrument of consent for this wedding. So the one we read before was William and Kate's, and there was a lot of chat about, like, what's this one going to be? And now we know. It looks like that. I'm going to pass it to you.
Wow.
And I'll read to you what it says, because I find it very funny, because it's written by mad medieval people. Elizabeth II, by the grace of God of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland and of our other realms and territories, Queen, in big letters, head of the Commonwealth, defender of the faith. To all whom these presents shall come, greeting. I love that because that to me sounds not like the start of a royal pronouncement, but a scam email. To all whom these presents shall come, greeting. Presents or presents, I'm not sure how you say
it. I'm glad you're reading it from a typed out version because this is hard to read.
It's insane. I transcribed this. Presents, I think, is like the term for this document, but it's hard to tell. Whereas by an Act of Parliament entitled Succession to the Crown Act 2013...
That kind of ruins it a bit.
Yeah, it does. It is amongst other things enacted that a person who, when the person marries, is one of the six persons next in line of succession to the Crown, must obtain the consent of Her Majesty before marrying. Such consent to be signified under the Great Seal, declared in Council, and recorded in the books of the Privy Council. Now know ye, in big letters, that we have consented, this is we, the royal we, so it's Queen, that we have consented and do by these presents signify our consent to the contracting of matrimony between our most dearly beloved grandson, Prince Henry Charles Albert David of Wales, KCVO, and Rachel Meghan Markle. Now remember, there was a lot of chat about the fact that Kate got called trusty. Nothing. No adjectives. Queen coating off Meghan.
That's a bit...
Not into it.
That's not all.
In witness whereof, we have caused our great seal to be affixed to these presents, given at our court of Buckingham Palace, the 14th day of March 2018, in the 67th year of our reign, by the Queen herself, signed with her own hand.
She not signed that?
Oh, she signed she that. Signed,
she signs on this mental bit up top.
Also, her signature is no Meghan. No. Remember Meghan's signature?
Yeah.
Come on.
The queue on Queen at the bottom
is brilliant.
It is like a portal into another realm with a little tail coming out of it that looks like a staircase. It's insane.
It's brilliant. Do you want to know about the little symbols?
Yes,
because there's all the symbols mean something.
Please.
The ones at the bottom are slightly boring. They're just like a crown bit and like a
one the little suit,
a little suit. But then the two ones to the left and right. The left one represents Harry. I didn't mean to burp, but I did.
It's a royal burp.
Yeah. The left one represents Harry, and it is... it incorporates a red dragon, the heraldic symbol of Wales, together with the UK's floral emblems, the rose, thistle, and shamrock. And it also features Prince Harry's label, which is the bit at the bottom, which includes... This is their own, the royal website's own words. Three tiny escalops from the Spencer family arms. I love that the Spencer family arms is like, stick it down the bottom, just three tiny escalops.
As low down as possible.
The design on the right also includes the rose, as this is the national flower of the United States.
Is it?
Mm.
I did not know that.
To either side of the rose are two golden poppies, this being the state flower of California. Interesting. Where Ms. Markle was born.
If it was just marijuana.
It's just weed. Between the flowers is the Welsh leek, together with Prince Harry's label. So, I don't like the Meghan's ones all full of Wales bits. Come on.
Yeah.
I like the leak, don't get me wrong, but...
She could have had a little suit.
But suit. Beneath the label are olive branches adopted from the Great Seal of the United States, which I think is quite good.
I feel like you could have got a bit more American stuff in there.
What, like a big eagle?
Big hot dog.
Eagles and hot dogs. And a bud. A can of bud.
Pabs.
Pabs Blue Ribbon.
Pabs with a hot dog sticking out top.
Or like a beer can actually, chicken.
It sounds like we're taking a piss. I'd actually love it.
Oh, mate. It'd be fantastic. So that's the instrument of consent. Now, shall we do what we promised and talk about the dress?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to go or shall I?
Yes. So this is from Sarah, the Marquess of East LA, protector of the editor's Dachshunds.
Oh, no. Dachshunds. I mean, I suppose they have to have that now.
Did you say Dachshund or Dachshund?
I switch between the two.
I think Dachshund, I say, but when I read it, I can't say Dachshund. Dachshund through the doors, rotating at a speed.
I've had Christmas songs stuck in my head all day. I was singing Silent Night to myself at my desk earlier.
What?
I don't know why. I just suddenly was going, and then went, oh, I sound really creepy.
You're right. It's me.
I think I'm ill.
So this is from Sarah, the Marquess of East LA. I loved playing Spot the Famous Person in the crowd.
Yes,
and I thought
do I.
That was very funny. But she thought Serena Williams deserved better and should be closer to the front.
Really?
But her main point is about the dress. She says Audrey Hepburn is her favourite actress, other than Meghan, of course.
Obviously.
So I couldn't help but love the wedding dress. Harry, because I think it's very simple and it's quite like Audrey Hepburn's dress.
My girlfriend was very disappointed in the dress.
Well, she wanted something.
She wanted something more like stately, which I kind of agree with.
Well, what do you mean by stately?
Just, well, I think just like a bit mad. Just like stuff going on.
It was properly white, though.
It was very, it was shiny white, it silky was, white.
You know, like, you see stuff and you go, oh, yeah, that's white. When I saw that, I was like, wow,
that
is good white.
That's all the colours coming back at me.
That is reflecting all those colours back into my eyes.
It's like, yeah, it's the, whatever the opposite of Vanta Black is, you know, the most black paint.
Oh, can we buy some Vanta Black?
I want Vanta, well, you can't. What's he called? Anish Kapoor owns it.
Well, just all of it.
Anish Kapoor owns the exclusive rights to the darkest colour in the world. Everyone hates him for it. If you haven't looked up Vanta Black, it's insane. It looks like a mistake.
It just looks like somebody's put a black sticker on Photoshop or something. It's not. If it's like a 3D, like a sphere.
It just eats light and you can't see what it's on.
So she thought it was a very beautiful and very elegant dress that reminded her of Audrey Hepburn.
I'm glad to hear it.
And then there's a little tiny point about Harry looked very handsome too. But in brackets, sorry about the bald spot.
I didn't realise he had a little bald spot before the day.
It was a very unflattering angle on Harry.
That's the problem. All the cameras had to be so high up that it was always looking down.
But yeah, very elegant dress, apparently.
And this is from Jen Adley, and it's called A Most Romantic Occasion, except most has an E on the end, like old school, like it would be on the bloody instrument of consent. Dear Daniel and Joe. What a delight their wedding turned out to be. I've never been particularly interested in the concept of marriage myself. Why should I have to prove my love for someone with a piece of paper and a metal band? My teenage self would ask. Oh, I see. Sorry, I've said that wrong. But you get the point. But I suppose I would compromise if I met the right man or woman. I've only been to three weddings in my life. One as a flower girl, who adorably sat on steps during the ceremony out of tiredness, and two as a guest, and I remember feeling that the ceremony was endless and unbearable. So colour me very pleased indeed that Harry and Meghan kept theirs short and sweet. Did they? Curry went on for about an hour.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was really glad that Meghan's influence could clearly be felt in the different musical choices, although apparently that was Prince Charles, as I said. We've talked about Michael Curry, so that's all right. Meghan's dress was classic and elegant and suited her understated style perfectly. Being a former Commonwealth citizen, I loved the detail that her veil was embroidered with the national flower of each Commonwealth nation, which I found out about afterwards. It's brilliant. I think I had some... Yeah, 53 different flowers.
That's good attention, because it looks, on the surface, very simple.
Yeah.
But it's like little Easter eggs.
That is Easter eggs. It really appeals to wedding nerds.
A Commonwealth nerds.
Can't believe we didn't do a trailer breakdown. And being a person who has always wanted someone to buy her flowers, I have to admit to feeling soft-hearted over the tidbit that Harry handpicked some of the flowers for Meghan's bouquet. Love heart emoji. Not emoji. What was it when they did them with
before
symbols?
The emoji. Emoticon. Well, it's almost like, I always think about them as like, that's what the bones of an emoji are.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if you left emoji out in the sun and it decayed,
and it died.
You would just then see like open bracket.
If you went to Namibia Skeleton Coast for emojis, that's what would be uncovered.
Just the bones of an emoji screaming.
Speaking of the man himself, he looked very dapper in his dress uniform and trimmed beard, allowed especially by his grandma, no less. I didn't know this. The poor boy looked sick to his stomach beforehand. There's some recurring themes. But as soon as he saw Meghan, that all disappeared. Except when he said, I'm shitting it. I've added that. That's what we all want, isn't it? Those of us who are romantically inclined, that is. A person whom simply the sight of makes everything better. To quote, love is love is love. Until the next royal wedding, I remain faithfully yours, the former Governor General of the Antipodes, Jen Adley. That's very nice.
Oh, I do think, more and more I think about it, that is... What a quintessential romantic British moment where you just
meet,
I'm shitting it and you're going to put me at ease. Please never leave me for the rest of your life.
Oh my God, please don't go.
Yeah, that's, like you can keep your grand statements and Disney, you know, Disneyfied reification of love. I just want to look at another person going, you make me not want to make my shit myself.
Fantastic. You make me want to not shit myself. Like your overwhelming urge would be, I really want it. I got to shit myself
I'm
right
just
now.
Terrified of life without you. Isn't that beautiful?
That is very nice.
That is British love.
Well done, Hit.
Best love in the world.
Have you got something about Pokemon? I've just seen a load of Pokemon on your
page. Do you want
page.
This now?
Yeah, do it now.
This is loosey-goosey, so we're going to just slot this story in right now.
Yeah.
This is from Chris. And Chris is the guy who's written in previously who has the daughter named after Saria in Zelda.
Ah, hello.
So he says, the big day, this is the email title. Mm. I woke up on Saturday morning with excitement and trepidation. It was the big day, a long time coming. Saturday, the 19th of May, was the day I was completing the original generation of Pokemon in Pokemon Go. All 151 monsters captured and logged away in my Pokedex.
This guy gets it.
I've been a day one player. And after a lucky work trip to the States, most of which was spent hunting for a Tauros, not actually working, Mew was all I needed. This past Saturday was the latest Pokemon Community Day, and this was the day I completed my special research tasks and caught the cute little legendary. Anyway, turns out there was something else going on that day, and we even made the local news here in Gloucester for daring to ignore the wedding.
Oh, I saw that. There
in
was
Gloucester.
The, wasn't it the pub?
Gloucester.
Gloucester.
Fred of Rosmey West.
Oh, cool. Here he comes.
Oh, I'm not going to do that.
The creepy boy.
As I missed the big event, I named my two shiny Pokemon after the royal couple.
Oh, fair play. What are we looking at?
You're going to have to identify them with some crap at Pokemon.
That's a shiny Charizard.
It's called Charry.
Oh, like Harry.
And then...
That's from the second game, I think.
So, that's a Mego.
Mego. Oh, that's Ho-Oh.
So, yeah.
Mego. That's good. I wish we'd called her Mego the whole time.
Mego, a Jerry.
Also, it sort of works because it's got the H in Megan.
Yeah, it's quite nice.
Sort of.
So, yeah, Chris, while we were watching the Royal Wedding, he was catching Mew.
Absolutely.
And then renaming Pokemon after the new Royal Couple.
Fair play.
What a great day that was.
Well done, Chris.
Cheers, Chris.
I've got one last thing, which was, obviously we talked a lot about the wedding, but there was one thing after the wedding. Well, two things. The reception, the official one, and the evening party, which is sort of like the reception that everyone actually has at a wedding. There's not much out there, so obviously it's not a place you can go. We know that Harry changed into a tux and Meghan changed into a different wedding dress.
Well, it was weird after watching the wedding together and then it just ended, because you were like... I was all ready to have a meal or something.
Yeah, it's time to go.
I was like, oh, the day's just beginning. Huh. We just went and drank in the sun.
We did.
Under a big umbrella.
I ate a nice big sandwich. It was great. That was our reception. I'm playing cornhole. I mean, we've got loads of American listeners. I'm assuming cornhole's a thing that everyone knows
about.
It's
like, I think it's from Chicago.
No, it's bloody brilliant. Go somewhere that has cornhole. It's a wicked game. But these are the few bits and pieces that I could find out about the reception. One, William gave a 2-minute best man speech. Come on, mate, you could do better than that. The only source I found was from the Daily Mail, which said that William had people laughing with some memories of Harry as a baby in diapers and needing a bottle every night.
That's just being a baby.
That's it. He was like, he was a baby once. See you later.
Oh, when he was little, like just first born, he was a right baby.
Yeah. Anyway, then he handed over to Harry. So, with that, I hand you over to my brother, Harry. apparently, I should say, Meghan apparently wanted to do a speech or had planned to do one, but didn't end up doing one. I hope she wasn't prevented. I doubt she was.
No.
We haven't talked about the fact she walked herself up half the aisle, which is really cool.
Yeah, it was really cool.
I really like that. Also, oh God, there's too much to talk about. We haven't talked about how mad St. George's Chapel is, and that 500 or 550 of the people in that chapel would have seen bugger all of the actual wedding.
Because strange, isn't it?
Because those old abbeys have a nave, which is the long proper church bit, and then the choir, which is the bit behind that section with the sideways pews.
It's mad, isn't it?
That's where you do the choir's where you do even song. I did some of that. And so Meghan wanted to do a speech, couldn't do one, don't know why. No one says. Harry's speech was apparently a banger, but no one has said what was in it. The only part that people know is the very end, and I love this. He finished with a joke that you could literally only make at an event like this, which was, does anyone here know how to play the piano? And then according to the Daily Mail source, there was a brief awkward silence before Sir Elton John got up on the podium and started playing. I love the brief, awkward silence. Everyone's like, oh, I don't. Oh, shit, does he really want someone? It's like, oh, Elton's here. Elton played four songs. Tiny Dancer, Circle of Life, I'm Still Standing, and Your Song. Your song, by the way.
Circle of Life's a weird
circle
one.
Circle of Life is very strange.
That's like, the one that really stood out for me, though.
It's the circle! What? Weddings! but Your Song, just as a side note, one of the best covers of all time is Mike Skinner of the Streets doing Your Song, because he can't sing, so it makes it all seem real. Like, you know the words. Like, when Elton John's doing it, you're
funny.
Like... He's just like, well, you're a really talented musician. When Mike Skinner's doing it, it's like, it's a little bit funny. This feeling inside always makes me cry. Honestly, it's absolutely beautiful. And, right, other amazing celebrity anecdote. George Clooney, at the Evening Do, started serving his own tequila. Like, his own... The brand Casamigos, which he just sold to Diageo for $1 billion.
No, he didn't.
Yeah.
A billion.
Him and another guy. $1 billion.
Oh, it's easy to get more money when you have money, isn't
it? It's so easy. But he just started serving it, just giving people shots of his own tequila, and apparently went behind the bar and was making cocktails for everyone. Fair play. Do you see how he looked? He can do what he wants. Really interesting thing about this, the royal connection between Casamigos Tequila, which is a name that's been said on the podcast before, and the royal family, do you know what it is?
No.
Spankers. Jack Brooksbank is the UK brand ambassador for Casamigos.
Spanky.
Spanky's absolutely cleaned up.
All coming back for the final episode.
Imagine
that's what you do in final episodes. You bring back favourite characters.
The only person who could get Clooney there was Spanky. I don't know if that's true.
Do we
true.
Know if Bex was at the Evening Do?
I don't know, actually. Hmm. But best part of any of the reception coverage. You're going to fucking love this. Do you know who the most interesting guest was there?
Oh.
He's called Guy. He's a beagle.
What?
It's Meghan's dog, Guy.
Guy?
Right.
Why was he not part of the big day?
Mate, he was.
But not
he was
in the church.
Reception.
In the church.
I've got to find
next
a tweet.
Next to the Queen.
I'm going to try and do this at the same time. I'm already failing. I've got to find a tweet, but you... I've fucked it. The quote goes, "The pet pooch had revelers in stitches as he caused chaos, running all over the place, lapping up any spilled canapes." What a lad. He's brilliant. He attended the evening party. He had been flown over from Toronto. But I don't know how we didn't see this. Check this out. A few days before the event, someone took a picture of the Queen's car. Guy the Beagle just sitting next to the Queen in the back. It's so good.
Oh, they look like they're getting on.
Yeah, he's so cute. He's just sitting in the back seat with the Queen.
The Queen must like you if she lets you, after not knowing you that long, ride with her.
Also, in a huge circular point for this podcast, we were talking about Guy the Beagle in the first episode in my abandoned, because it was too sad, feature Conspiracy Corner, where they said Meghan had abandoned her dogs.
Yeah,
I think she only, firstly, I think she only had one dog, and it was Guy, and he's still there. So.
But now he's over.
F off, conspiracy theorists.
Is that like, I guess, has he immigrated?
I guess he must have, because they live in Kensington Palace now.
He's become British.
Yeah.
Well done, Guy.
Get him a doggy passport. Also, just one tiny extra detail. They apparently served cotton candy and dirty burgers at the at the evening
dinner. Imagine the Queen having a dirty burger.
Queen didn't go. The Queen wasn't there, so no dirty burgers for the Queen, unfortunately.
But she heard.
Maybe they wrap one up for her.
Queen probably requests dirty burger whenever she wants.
She could do whatever she wants. Do you reckon that's literally the restaurant, dirty burger? It can't be.
I guess that's a description of like... trendy burgers.
I thought that was cool. But that's it.
That's it.
We're beyond the wedding.
So that's it. That's done.
All right, see you later. We've got two emails that you pointed out.
Yes.
And as you hopefully know, we feel extremely uncomfortable about reading out nice things about us. But I thought, well, we thought that we'd just, because people were nice, we thought we'd do it. Not much.
Yeah, the first one's from Laura Fork. And she said, I found your podcast this weekend. People are just finding it now.
Come on.
After the royal wedding has already happened. But I found it so delightful and listening to the whole thing after the fact.
Oh.
She just visited England for the first time a few weeks ago and thought it was lovely. She just wants to say, this is completely, I hope this wasn't completely boring email, but wanted to compliment y'all on the podcast, which is American for you all, I believe.
I've heard
and
that.
And how much I'm enjoying it.
Did you have to run that through Google Translate?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thanks, Laura.
And this is from Audria Sullivan. Hello, lads. Just a brief note to thank you for your whimsical podcasts in the run-up to the royal wedding. Being an American girl who met my own British prince and relocated to the UK, your podcast has helped ease my homesickness and made me feel make me feel part of this exciting time for the UK and the royal family. Thank you for your cheer, humour and energy. I have loved every episode. Even the flowers one.
I just want to say thank you. We got lots more nice emails as well, but we didn't want to read them all out because that would be very un-British of us.
But in classic kids' TV show style, we read every single one. Well, I do after Krupa's gone through them because he likes surprising me with them.
But I say thank you very much for listening. It's a bit of a weird project for me and Joe.
Well, yeah, we should talk about the fact that we came into this going like, I don't know a fucking thing about this. I don't know why we've been asked to do it. But
and now I know loads of weird things about the royal family.
It's so good for dinners with people you don't know that well, because I've just got facts coming out of my arse.
You've been cleaning up recently.
Yeah, that's what I do. I sit
on the
down,
dinner party circuit in North London.
I sit down with some people. I'm like, guys, I don't know if you know much about me. I'm assuming you don't. We've never met before. But one thing I have is facts coming out of my arse. And it really gets the night off to a good start.
Brace yourself. I also want to say thank you to you for doing the podcast with me.
Thank you to you, my friend. It's been lovely. Thank you to Radio Stakhanov, because they had us. And it's really nice to be asked to do a weird project just because they're
Why
interested
not?
In it.
So I don't think we're going to do any more.
I think this is probably it.
It had an inbuilt expiry date.
And it was last week.
Yeah, so we've done one more episode because it felt weird to not do it. But Joe and I do other podcasts elsewhere. You can listen to us on the IGN UK podcast, which is about movies and video games and things we feel like slightly less awkward talking about.
Yes.
Actually, not much more less awkward.
Not really. I also do a comedy podcast, which is significantly bluer than this one, called Regular Features. And we do live shows in London every month if you would like to come and watch me in a flesh.
Not
a fleshy
royal
sense.
Blue, it's just genuinely smut.
It's like, I'm the least fruity of them, and I swear way more than you on this one, so that should probably give you a little hint as to the problems that we encounter. But do we do anything else? Well, we both work for IGN as well, so if you want to read stuff we write, that's where we do
Head
it.
Head over there. But we'll see you in another life.
Oh, my God.
Shit. That was a bit much. Did it?
Yeah.
How's he doing? 17 episodes?
Yeah. That was good.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was saying something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.